Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, May 21st, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7, let's notice the corrected translation starting at verse 8. Excuse me, I got tea here. I guess I should have put something in it. That's what I should have. Second Corinthians 7, starting at verse 8. For even though I caused you soul pain and sorrow by means of my letter, that is, the writing of 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had to teach them with tough virtue love. They were setting the world record for reversionism. And he didn't want to see them crash and burn and die the sin unto death. He saw a lot of believers in Corinth die the sin unto death. They went through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. And it broke his heart. And he knew that he had to teach the grace and truth of the Word of God with tough virtue love. He had to clobber them with tough virtue love. And he wasn't sure, after he wrote 1 Corinthians, if there was even going to be a ministry in Corinth or not. But there is. So he says in verse 8, for even though I caused you soul pain and sorrow by means of my letter, the writing of 1 Corinthians, I absolutely do not regret it. In other words, Paul says, I absolutely do not regret teaching 1 Corinthians. It was exactly what you needed to hear. It was the tough communication of grace and truth that you absolutely needed to hear. So I don't regret teaching 1 Corinthians. And I taught 1 Corinthians too, and I don't regret teaching 1 Corinthians either. I absolutely do not regret teaching 1 Corinthians. Although I did feel regret. Now, when he says that, Paul is saying, I did not relish having to be a disciplinarian. And no faithful communicator of the Word of God, whether it's the Apostle Paul or a faithful communicator, a faithful pastor in the church age, no faithful pastor relishes having to be a disciplinarian. And it's no fun. It's no fun for a communicator to teach as a disciplinarian with tough virtue love. Now, the Apostle Paul had some great congregations up in Macedonia. The Philippians, Philippi, Thessalonica. He never had to assert his apostolic authority when he wrote those epistles and taught them. They had great positive volition and great humility. There's two gifts you have to have when you assemble in a local church. Two gifts. You need to come with positive volition, and you need to come with humility. Respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. If you have that, it's a slam dunk from there. The Apostle Paul never had to assert his apostolic authority when he wrote Philippians. He never had to assert his apostolic authority when he wrote 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. He definitely had to assert it when he wrote Corinthians. But he loved teaching the believers in Philippi. And they loved having Paul communicate the Word of God. They had the greatest humility and the greatest positive volition. And not only that, they totally oriented to the grace of God. They totally oriented to the Word of God, doctrinal orientation. And we're chapter 8 and chapter 9, we're going to have two whole chapters in 2 Corinthians that deals with the subject of grace giving. Christian giving is grace giving. The Corinthians didn't have a clue. The Macedonians did. The Macedonians, the Philippians knew. The Thessalonians knew. In fact, and they were in great poverty. The churches up in Macedonia were in great poverty. But they loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They had maximum grace orientation. They totally realized how God had operated in total grace toward them. The grace of the cross and salvation, the grace of the plan of God, the grace of greater grace blessings, God's plan of wanting to bless, 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 all by grace. And when they saw how fantastic God treated them in grace, that motivated them to operate in grace and give in grace. God gave in grace. God loved the world so much, He gave His own Son. Grace. The world didn't earn it or deserve it, but God gave His Son in grace. And the Philippians got it. The Macedonians got it. God loved us with grace, treated us with grace when we were horrible. Spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. They saw how God treated them in grace. And that motivated them to treat others in grace giving. The believers down in Jerusalem were totally destitute. And the Macedonians gave sacrificially to help those believers down in Jerusalem. And not only that, they supported the Apostle Paul everywhere he went around the Roman Empire. They supported him. Not the Corinthians, but the Macedonians, and they were poor. But they gave sacrificially because they totally learned how God treated them in grace, and they were motivated to treat. When you totally have maximum grace orientation, you will be the most gracious, generous person walking around. And that is exactly what the Macedonians were. But not the Corinthians. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, and the Corinthians are just like Las Vegas. They own several casinos. Most of the Corinthians, they are billionaires. They're rich, rich, rich. They got all this loot. And Paul didn't take one penny from them. Not one cent. Why? They didn't understand grace. They didn't even know what grace giving was. The Macedonians, who were totally destitute, they did. But not the Corinthians. So we're going to have two whole chapters on that. You're going to love that. Hang on to your pocketbook. Hang on to your purse. Two chapters on grace giving. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're not there yet. I'm already there, but you're not there yet. So he says, for even though I caused you soul pain and sorrow by means of my letter, 1 Corinthians, writing 1 Corinthians and teaching grace and truth with tough virtue love, I absolutely do not regret it. Although I did feel regret, that is, Paul did not relish having to be a disciplinarian. I see that letter, 1 Corinthians, caused you soul pain and sorrow, though only for a little while. And then we've exegeted part of verse 9. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. Repentance. They changed their thinking. They turned from negative volition to positive volition. They turned from arrogance to humility. And Paul was so happy. That means his communication of 1 Corinthians accomplished its objective. So Paul fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Paul is perhaps the greatest believer of all time. The Apostle Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And therefore, Paul loves all the believers in Corinth, all of them, with great virtue love. That phrase, although I did feel regret, is telling us that Paul didn't relish his role as a disciplinarian. Just like parents do not relish their role as a disciplinarian and spank their children. It's necessary, but they don't. It's not something that they have fun doing. Likewise, faithful pastors do not relish their role as disciplinarian and teach the Word of God with tough virtue love. Paul was filled with the Spirit, and Paul taught 1 Corinthians with tough virtue love. The pastor teacher is not out of fellowship with God because he raises his voice or yells. You can be filled with the Spirit and manifest tough virtue love as a disciplinarian. And the principle is, Where do we see that? God the Father, disciplines us with tough virtue love. So the pastor learned from God the Father. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he loves all of you as believers in Jesus Christ. He loves all of us with infinite virtue love. We have his imputed righteousness. Wherever the righteousness of God resides, God loves you with infinite virtue love, personal love for you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." And this is a very interesting word, punish. It's mastigao. M-A-S-T-I-G-O, long O, mastigao. And this word literally means to skin alive with a whip. To skin alive with a whip. Now that's the word here, punishes. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And God loves us. The Father loves us with infinite virtue love. We have his imputed righteousness. And he loves us with infinite virtue love. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So there is the role model for the pastor. And this is the role model for all of us in who are in authority. Verse 9 again says, "As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. Absolutely not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance." That's as far as we got in our exegesis. Now we go on. "For you were made sorry after a godly manner." Oh, Lord, the King James Version. Well, we always start with it. I got a lot of things to straighten out here. We could stop here and I could go around. What does this mean to you in your heart? "For you were made sorry after a godly manner." Were any of you made sorry after a godly manner? It doesn't say that, but... Once again, we have the aorist passive indicative of lupeo plus the conjunction gar plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of theos. Now, gar, all the way through here, again and again and again, it is called the illative use of gar. And the illative use of gar introduces a reason. And you translate it for. And then we have the aorist passive indicative of lupeo, and this is now used for the third time in this verse. The third time. L-U-P-E long O, lupeo. "For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow." This is what we have in this phrase. "For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, kata, plus the accusative of theos." And we've had that. Kata plus theos. The preposition kata, literally, according to the Norman standard of... Oh, look at that. I put one in English and one in Greek. There you go. Yeah, pray for the pastor. Kata plus theos. T-H-E-O-S. So literally, according to the norms and standards of God, that's literal. But this is an idiom, a Greek idiom, And it should be translated according to the will of God. According to the will of God. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God. And then we have that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Oh boy. This is hina plus the aorist passive subjunctive of zemiao plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of the negative maiden. Hina plus the subjunctive. And I bet if I just stop and say, okay, what's he plus the subjunctive? Nobody? Oh, come on. I know you got this. I'm not supposed to talk in church, I know. H-I-N-A. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause and is correctly translated for the purpose that. For the purpose that, in order that. And then we have the verb zemiao. Z, long E, M, I, O, long O, zemiao. All right, let's get a few points on zemiao. Now, when this verb is in the active voice, you would translate it to inflict injury. To inflict injury or to inflict punishment. That's in the active voice. However, point two, in the Word of God, zemiao is only used in the passive voice. In the Word of God, zemiao is only used in the passive voice. Three, in the passive voice, zemiao means to suffer damage or loss or to sustain injury and harm. That's the passive voice. That's what we have. And in the Word of God, zemiao is always in the passive voice. It means to suffer damage or loss, to sustain injury or harm. Four, in our verse, it means to suffer loss because of someone. To suffer loss because of someone. And the someone here is the Apostle Paul and Titus and Timothy and the team that was with Paul. So in our verse it means to suffer loss because of someone. Five, Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 234, says that the preposition ek plus the genitive plural of ego, the personal pronoun ego, so we have ek plus the personal pronoun ego, ek plus ego, E-G, long O. Ek plus ego. Well, that's a lousy O. There we go. Ek plus ego. That introduces the effective cause. Arntgen Gingrich, page 234, when you have ek here with the genitive plural of personal pronoun ego, it introduces an effective cause, and it should be translated because of us. Because of us. Effective cause. Because of us. Six. Then we have the preposition and with the negative maiden. So now we have N, that's E-N, plus maiden. Looks like that in the Greek. M, long E-D-E-N. So we have N plus maiden. N plus maiden means in no way, in no respect. It means no way, Jose. See, you didn't know that was in the Greek, did you? There you go. 7. In no way were the believers in Corinth damaged or injured by Paul's tough virtue love teaching of 1 Corinthians. No way. In no way were the believers in Corinth damaged or injured by Paul's tough virtue love teaching of 1 Corinthians. Eight, rather, they were blessed. This was the greatest thing that could happen. They were blessed. They've recovered. They're in reversion recovery. They got back into fellowship with God. They rebounded. They got into reversion recovery. They repented. They've changed their thinking toward God and the Word of God, and now they're moving out. They've changed their thinking from negative volition to positive volition. They've changed their thinking from arrogance to humility. Now they're living the spiritual life and they're moving out. They're being blessed as a result of it. So they were not injured in any way. They were not damaged in any way by Paul's tough virtue love teaching of 1 Corinthians. 8, rather they were blessed. They were blessed by his tough virtue love teaching of grace and truth. His tough virtue love teaching of grace and truth. 9, 1 Corinthians was their wake-up call. The Corinthians needed a wake-up call, and 1 Corinthians was their wake-up call. Today in America, a lot of Christians need a wake-up call. This was the Corinthians' wake-up call. 10, they came to their senses and rebounded. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that restores you to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life. They came to their senses. They rebounded. They got back into fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit and their spiritual life. 11. There is no fun for the faithful communicator when he has to get tough with his congregation. It's absolutely necessary, but it's not fun. It was fun for Paul to go to Macedonia, to Philippi and Thessalonica. But there's no fun when the pastor has to get tough with his congregation. It's absolutely necessary, but it's not fun. So, corrected translation now of verse 9 sounds like this. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance, for you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury because of us, Paul and his team. I'll give you that one again. This is one of the longer verses. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss, or injury because of us. Now we come to verse 10, and in verse 10 we have repentance. First of all, we have true repentance in verse 10. Then this is biblical repentance. True repentance is biblical repentance. First half of the verse, we have true repentance. In the second half, we have false repentance. So we have true and false repentance in verse 10. First of all, in verse 10, true repentance. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. How'd that do for you? Huh? I don't know who translated these verses in Corinthians, but I would have flunked him if it was me. But we have the post-positive conjunction gar with the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative theos, repeated once again, plus lupe with the definite article, plus the accusative singular metanoia, plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative singular soteria. Now, sometimes soteria means salvation, but it doesn't mean salvation here. It also means deliverance here that should never have been translated salvation. Plus the accusative singular of metamaletas, plus the present active indicative of ergazomai. All right, we have the illative use of gar once again, and introducing a reason, and correctly translated for. And then we have kata plus the accusative theos repeated once again. And now you know exactly what this means. This is an idiom that means according to the will of God. For according to the will of God. And then we have lupe. And I know some of you, the only lupe you know is a song. Hang on, lupe, you know. That has nothing to do with this, but anyway. It's kind of fun when you're a pastor studying. I'm in there so long, and I go to my brain gets fried, and then I see, lupe, oh, righteous brothers, yeah, okay. Lupe 1, it means soul pain and sorrow. Lupe means soul pain and sorrow. 2, this soul pain and sorrow is according to the will of God. According to the will of God. That is point 3. This is soul pain that God approves because it produces true repentance, biblical repentance, true repentance. So this is soul pain that God approves because it produces, it results in true repentance. 4, it produces a change of mental attitude in your soul. You change from negative volition to positive volition. You change from arrogance to humility. And we have ergazomai. ergazomai, ergazomai. First of all, as an intransitive verb, this ergazomai can be used either as an intransitive verb or a transitive verb. Intransitive verb, all you English majors out there, it doesn't have an object. Transitive verb, it does. So as an intransitive verb, ergazomai means to work or to be active. But as a transitive verb, which is what how it's used in our verse, it means to do, to accomplish, to carry out, and to bring about or to produce. To bring about or to produce. So, four, well, maybe let's just do one. You don't need to have points on all those other things. Okay. I have to renumber. Okay, one, soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God produces metanoia, true biblical repentance. Soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God. Produces metanoia, true repentance. Two, metanoia. This is the noun from metanoeo, metanoia. That's the noun. It's a compound word too. There's meta. That means to change. And noia comes from nous. Nous is the word for mind. Metta plus nous. Change your mind. So metanoia is the same term. Point two. Metanoia is the same term Paul used in verse 9 for true repentance or biblical repentance. So soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God produces metanoia, true repentance. Metanoia is the same term Paul used in verse 9 for true repentance or biblical repentance. Three, metanoia is a change of mental attitude. A change of mental attitude. It means to change your mind, to change your thinking. Four, for the reversionist, and that's what we had lots and lots of reversionists in Corinth. For the reversionist, this change of mind includes, first of all, rebound. First of all, you have to acknowledge your sins to God. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, for the reversionist, this change of mind, first of all, means rebound, and then secondly, followed by reversion recovery. Reversion recovery. Five. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 228, notes that the preposition ace plus the accusative. Looks like that pretty much in the Greek and the English, ace plus the accusative. Ace plus the accusative means to indicate a goal leading to a result. It means the result of an action. The result of the action specifically, the action is metanoia. The result of metanoia. And the result of metanoia, metanoia is repentance, a change of mind, rebound, followed by reversion recovery. And then, point six, we have ace plus the accusative of soteria. Soteria. Well, that's the way it looks in the Greek and English. Soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Soteria. Sometimes soteria means salvation, but it doesn't mean salvation here. They're saved. They're saved. So it hasn't, this is not salvation. It also means deliverance. So this ace plus the accusative soteria means leads to deliverance. Deliverance from what? Deliverance from maximum divine discipline, dying death, the sin unto death. So ace plus the accusative singular of soteria leads to deliverance. Deliverance from maximum divine discipline or the sin unto death. Seven, this deliverance from the sin unto death is ametamaletos. This deliverance from the sin unto death is ametamaletos. A-M-E-T-A-M-E-L-long-E-T-O-S, ametamaletos. And that means without regret. Without regret. This deliverance from the sin unto death is ametamaletos, without regret. Eight, the Apostle Paul is so happy that the Corinthians have rebounded. They have recovered from reversionism. And that they are not going to go out the sin unto death. He is so happy. Because it was so sad, it broke his heart to see so many of these believers in Corinth make bad decisions. They were in reversionism. They were going from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline. And it broke his heart. But the Apostle Paul now is absolutely happy that these Corinthians have rebounded, they've recovered from the reversionism, and he's so happy that they are not going to go out the sin unto death. So we have, for the soul pain, that soul pain that is according to the will of God, produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from the sin unto death. For the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance, biblical repentance, without regret that results in deliverance from the sin unto death. Now, the last half of the verse, we have false repentance. Now we have false repentance. But the sorrow of the world, notice the other soul pain and sorrow was according to the will of God. That's true repentance. But the sorrow of the world, the cosmic system, worketh death. So this is the postpositive conjunction da plus the nominative singular of lupe again with the definite article plus the genitive singular of cosmos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of kat ergodzomai. We had ergodzomai in the first clause, now we have kat ergodzomai. The postpositive conjunction da. D-E, it's a conjunction of contrast, correctly translated, but. But, or however, or yet, or on the other hand, we're going to translate it, but. And it sets up a contrast. Let's notice three things. It sets up a contrast between one, true repentance, biblical repentance, with false repentance. A contrast between true repentance with false repentance. Secondly, a contrast between soul pain according to the will of God with soul pain from Satan's cosmic system. So secondly, it sets up a contrast between soul pain according to the will of God with soul pain from Satan's cosmic system. And third, it sets up a contrast between deliverance from the sin unto death with dying the sin unto death. Sets up a contrast between deliverance from the sin unto death with dying the sin unto death. And then we have, hey Lupe. Hey Lupe to Cosmo. This is the definite article, H, long E, and then Lupe, L-U-P, long E. This is the genitive singular of the definite article, and the genitive is T-O-U. And this is cosmos in the genitive singular, and that's K-O-S-M-O-U. Hey Lupe to Cosmo. That means the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system. Satan has a system for ruling planet Earth, and it only produces sorrow. You live your life in Satan's cosmic system, you will have warning discipline because you're going to crash and burn, and God doesn't want you to crash and burn. God loves you with infinite virtue love. He wants to bless you. But if you live your life in Satan's cosmic system, all he can do is spank you. And he doesn't, it's not, he would much rather bless you than spank you. So, this is the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system. And now we don't have ergodzomai, we have kat ergodzomai. K-A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Kat ergodzomai. Point one, kat ergodzomai means to produce. Ergodzomai means to produce. Kat ergodzomai means to produce. Two, in the true repentance clause, we had the verb ergodzomai, but now in the false repentance clause, we have kat ergodzomai. And the only difference is that a preposition kata was prefixed to ergodzomai. What does that do? Glad you asked. Three, adding the preposition kata to ergodzomai intensifies what it produces. And what is it intensifying? Thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Thanatos means death. A lot of different ways here. It refers to the sin unto death. Maximum divine discipline. That's what kata. Adding the preposition kata to ergodzomai intensifies what it produces, which is thanatos, the sin unto death. Point four, feeling sorry for your sins, that is not biblical repentance. Feeling sorry for your sins, that is not biblical repentance. Biblical repentance starts with rebound. 1 John 1:9. You acknowledge your sins to God. Acknowledge your sins to God. Not to anybody else, not to me. You don't have to come and acknowledge your sins to me. I can't do anything about it. That's just... When I was at Dallas Seminary, there were about 1,000 students at Dallas Seminary. I was majoring in Hebrew and minoring in Greek, and I was study, and then I had so much work, and I stayed up and worked in Hebrew, worked in Greek. I got very little sleep, and I'd be going to class, and I started out to at 8 o'clock and walking to 8 o'clock class. I go by people, and a lot of those guys that were at seminary, they were just, hi, you know. I was going to class and learning the next, what was in Hebrew or Greek. I guess I walked past people and I didn't say hi to them as I went by. I've gone by past my own mother and not said hi before, but it didn't mean I didn't like her. I love my mother very much. I had the greatest mother you could have. And I'm in studying and hear that somebody knocks on the door. And I open the door and here's one of the students standing there. He goes, I just wanted you to know that I hated you today. I said, pardon me? I hated you today. Well, I don't even know who you are. He said, well, you walked right past me and you didn't say hi. I said, I walked past Alk. About 990 of the people here I walked past and don't say hi. I'm going to class, Hebrew, Greek. And he said, well, I said, look, I'm not God. If you sin or you think you've committed a sin, and hate is certainly a sin, if you think you've committed a sin, you don't come and tell me. I can't do anything about it. Go right to the Father. 1 John 1:9, go to the Father. If we acknowledge our sins to God, just go to Him. You know, if he'd have just gone to the Father and acknowledged his sin, that he hated me, I would never have thought anything negative about this guy. But after he came and knocked on my door and told me that, every time I went by him, I go, oh, crap. There's the... I probably thought when I went by, he's a pretty nice guy. Now I'm going, this guy is just stupid, you know. So, and I said, you name your sins to God, not to me. And I'm sorry if I didn't say hi, but nothing personal. Feeling sorry for your sins is not biblical repentance. 5, false repentance does not change your status quo. Biblical repentance is rebound followed by reversion recovery. So we have, for the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret, that results in deliverance from the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, produces death, the sin unto death. All right, now let's get verses 9 and 10 together here. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, Titus, so on. Verse 10, for the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, produces death. The sin unto death. Well, that brings us to, what does the Bible have to say about repentance? The doctrine of repentance. And we'll probably just be able to get point one definition tonight. Point one definition. All right. Subpoint one, the Greek transitive verb metanoeo means to change one's thinking or to change the mind. That's the verb metanoeo. 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 The Greek transitive verb metanoeo means to change one's thinking or to change the mind. Secondly, from that transitive verb, we have a cognate noun, metanoia. metanoia. That's the cognate noun, metanoia. And that means a change of mind or a change of mental attitude. A change of mind or a change of mental attitude. And then three, there's a Hebrew verb, nacham. Looks like that in the Hebrew, N-A-C-H-A-M, nacham. And that means to change the mind in the Hebrew. Four, repentance connotes a decision based on your thinking, your mentality, not your emotion. Repentance connotes a decision based on your mentality, your thinking, not your emotions. Five, all of us repented at the moment of our salvation. We changed our thinking and simply believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. All of us repented at the moment of salvation. We changed our thinking and simply believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Six, as you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, that is, you are witnessing for Christ, you simply give the grace gospel. Salvation is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. You do not try to get the unbeliever to repent. That's all in the hands of God the Holy Spirit. You just give the grace gospel, the information, and let God the Holy Spirit take it from there. So as you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, you're witnessing for Christ. You simply give the grace gospel and let God the Holy Spirit take it from there. You do not try to get the unbeliever to repent. 7. That is the function of God the Holy Spirit. Using the gospel information that you have provided, you simply provide the grace gospel information and let God the Holy Spirit take it from there. So that is the function of God the Holy Spirit using the gospel information that you have provided. 8. God the Holy Spirit will turn the light on in their heart, in the unbeliever's heart. When you give the grace gospel, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, when you do that, God the Holy Spirit takes that information, turns on the light in their heart of the unbeliever, and encourages them to change their mind about Christ and believe in Him. Believe in Him. You just give the correct information, the grace gospel, give that to them, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and God the Holy Spirit will take it from there. He'll turn the light on in their heart, and the eyes of their heart will see Jesus Christ and the work of Christ on the cross that paid the penalty for all of their sins. And if they simply believe in Him, they will have the gift of eternal life. Well, that's point one. That's definition. So next week we're going to take a look at salvation repentance and go through that in detail, and then we'll take a look at reversion recovery repentance. These are all in the Word of God. We'll look at the passages that cover those, and then we have a notice the difference between metanoeo and metamelomai. That's all coming up next week. So with our heads bowed, Father, we thank You again for Your magnificent grace. We thank You for the privilege of fellowshipping with You and Your Word this evening. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hey, Dave.
You didn't do too much moving.